This podcast is offered to you by Zen Center North Shore on the web at www.zencenternorthshore.org. This program is made possible by donations from listeners like you.
Adorn yourself. You know, there's a way in which I was thinking this morning, I was expressing this to the Jishan, looking outside at the tree that's in bloom. I don't know what kind of tree it is in the front, do you know?
It's an almond. No, on the grass.
Right here, the white blossoms.
Oh, I think it's
probably an almond.
Could be. Yeah. It's a fruiting tree.
Yeah. I was thinking about how ritual is like a dramatic reenactment of life. Like we could, from year to year, I'm thinking about Chisei, your student, the Way Seeking Mind talk the other night about the experience you had when we were walking Kinhin under the sakura, under the cherry tree in bloom. That was your gateway drug into Zen practice. You know, and like how we could be chanting the Makahanya Haramita Shingyo outside under that tree, you know, maybe in a week or so when the blossoms start to fall. That's the spirit of this ceremony. You know, and I have this vision of just this beautiful rock. It was very special. Setetsu and I, after the hike yesterday, and we had a meal together. That was a wonderful restaurant, the Five Forces in Somerville. And then we went to Seitetsu's house to find the perfect rock for the ceremony. And then I came here last night. There were moments like that when I'm like, this life of mine, you know, I was here by myself last night. It was getting dark and I'm traipsing around the grounds, looking for other rocks to support this rock. That's why you saw those two rocks on the counter up there. I was playing. You know, and the vision, I'm also looking at that tree stump right outside this window, and there's another one on an angle just up the hillside there. Pretty sure they cut down these trees when they built this beautiful extension of this historic building to support this sendo, and so at least two trees lives were cut short in order for that to happen. So that right out there feels like an altar, that tree stump. And as we were walking in Kinhin, I was feeling like the spirit of this ceremony from year to year. One of these days, perhaps. And Pete, I was thinking about you last night. I'm so happy. I was so happy when I walked in seeing you sitting. A stone that naturally has an indentation, that maybe naturally has rainwater in it. And we just bring our bamboo scoop. and it's like that, you know. And it's an outside altar, like someone asked for the Daisoji a couple weeks ago. The great spring cleaning that we did, it was such a beautiful day, and we decided to bow in outside, and someone said, I think the Jisha said, should we offer incense? A wonderful question. Well, yes, and we would offer incense out the outside altar, the work leader altar, you know, that would be somewhere outside. All of this is just part of the vision. So, you know, yeah, sometimes when we do Buddha's birthday, we talk about Shakyamuni Buddha, and I could talk about that, about his birth and his life and his mom and the circumstances around it. And it's a wonderful story, and there are different versions of the story. Scholars don't yet agree, except basically we're talking around 500 years before Christ. That was the time that Shakyamuni was up and about as a human being. So as I mentioned earlier, this year, because of Earth Day, and that was intentional scheduling Buddha's birthday on Earth Day weekend, the awakening of the earth, how early some of the blooming feels this year, and how sporadic it is, how wildly erratic it is. And even just being in the Welcome Garden yesterday, that we've reopened the Welcome Garden here in Beverly. It's another physical practice place where we sit zazen on Wednesday and Friday evenings beginning next month. Under the big maple tree, it's dangerous to be alive. That maple tree, Julia, remember? Sometimes we'll drop branches and limbs, and we sit right under it. And it also drops, what are those called? Those little green parasols?
Samaras.
Oh, samaras, beautiful. So that rains on us as we're sitting zazen in May. That tends to happen. And then we have bonfires there, and we have soirees, and we have special tea there, and people come, and dogs come, and babies come. And so we were there yesterday, and we'll be there again today for a little bit. And just this question about whether or not we encourage grass to grow there, I think no, because it takes a lot of water to maintain that, and it'll just dry up. I was looking at the grass out here, and I don't know what we put there, but something intentional. We can still keep talking about it. Maybe there are drought-resistant grasses that we could plant. Will those be itchy to sit on? Mm-hmm. No. Will they attract more bugs? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's something to engage with sensitivity. And this is what I wanted to talk about. You know, the sensitivity of holding the scooper and feeling the scoop. That bamboo, feeling the warmth of the bamboo, that's handmade. I don't remember, Pete, we got that scoop back at St. Andrew's, back in those days. But I don't, because I think the first Buddha's birthday we offered was 2013. We were at St. Andrew's then, yeah. So you didn't make it. You could have. But the sensitivity of the body and opening with the earth body, as the earth body opens, we could say, this time of year, in this part of the earth. Feeling the opening, you know, the softening of the ground and how moist when we were walking yesterday, walking across that big dog field, how squishy it feels, the tufts of grass. It's just the sensitivity of our aliveness and how helpful. I almost feel the earth going, thank you, of how we walk on the earth and how we engage with water and thinking of the water protectors. Thinking of those who in various ways are devoting their lives to this kind of sensitivity, you know, Tortuguita, who was on our list, our chanting list for 49 days, whose life was lost in his version of protecting the earth, loving the earth, you know, a forest defender. So, and our practice is this also in this sitting of zazen. Sitting zazen and opening and becoming more sensitive and grounding ourselves using the earth, allowing the earth to receive us, allowing the earth to be fully actualized through our sitting, that kind of using the earth. It's not exploitative, not that kind of using the earth that we've gotten really good at, really bad at. That kind of using the earth, this kind of using the earth of allowing her to receive us. And feeling her receiving us, our mother, healing our relationship with our mother. So as I was thinking this year about what I wanted to share, I'm thinking a lot about death. And in Zen, you know, when we have Buddha's birthday, we can talk about death because, as Suzuki Roshi asked us in one of his talks, will you please find another expression for to die, like when someone has died? And so I'm thinking about birth and death, you know, this continuation, which is also our practice, continuous practice. No matter what posture we're sitting in Zazen, continuous practice, whether we're in the Zendo or not, continuous practice. How do we engage with the relationship we have with our body-mind? How do we engage with this opportunity to be between heaven, to stand between heaven and earth, to live between so-called birth and death? So, water. Of course we know some of us, of course, who were raised Catholic. I think in other traditions, this might be so. That's kind of like, you know, it's like you were all priests going up to the altar and bathing the baby Buddha. A little baptism, a little welcome to planet Earth. Welcome to this form of inhabiting planet Earth. And so at death, we also have water. Our Dharma sister, Suigetsu, Jennifer Chavez. Do you remember Jennifer from St. Andrews? And she and I have been talking about this, and she knows she's not here now, but she's been here for Dharma Talks, and she knows that I'm engaging with this. And you know I'm engaging with this, because we're not going to wait, as I said, until her eulogy. She has ALS. She and I, we see each other once a week, and her husband's involved very much. He's also a practitioner, Rob. And we've begun to talk about, she's asking about the ceremonies for end of life. And this is so awesome, because we want to have a chance for her family, for her children, to engage with this in the conversation. And it's very painful, of course, but whether or not they will be okay with their mom's wish to have the Sangha sit with her body for the 3 days. And before that, I don't think I've mentioned this to Suigetsu yet. We'll see what she says, but there's an opportunity possibly to prepare her body by bathing it. And then, with whatever's growing in the welcome garden, fragrant herbs and flowers. This is an opportunity, if you'd like, to cry with me, you know, to cry with the earth. There's this beautiful tradition. I saw it with Lou's body. Wendy Johnson came in, who's like Mother Earth herself. She's like Gaia. She's the gardener, the grandmother gardener at Green Gulch Farm, which is part of San Francisco Zen Center. And she just comes right in when there's a body, and she brings her herbs. And she adorns the body. It's like a whole body garland around the body. And it gives us, you know, those of us who are still alive, as we're sitting with the body, to be able to experience the beauty of this earth and our aliveness through the scent of these herbs and the beauty, you know, the beauty of these flowers and these herbs as a garland around the body of our beloved. And we sit with the body of our beloved. As I said to Suigetsu the other day, you know, it's all coming for us. It just happens to be timing. So this is an act of solidarity to sit with, you know, someone else who goes before us. So we're sitting with ourselves, and we're sitting with the earth. So, Suzuki Roshi, so my beginner's mind. In this chapter, on Nirvana, the waterfall. God, my aging eyes and now teary-eyed. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see. But I do want to, I'm going to spend time as much as I can see reading through a lot of this. This is a very beautiful talk that Suzuki Roshi gave on water. And I read it to Suigetsu. I had two passages I was reading to her. One was this, and the other was Thich Nhat Hanh. And she was like nodding with Thich Nhat Hanh. With Suzuki Roshi, she was just kind of like, this wasn't really doing it for her. Let's see what it does for you. How you connect with this. I might read this to my mom. Some of you know, later on today, I'll be offering. My mom asked for a little ceremony because my sister's ashes arrived on Friday. And so we're going to chant the... this is great to be able to tell you this because I've been sharing. I love that my mom was like, can we offer a little ceremony? You know, she's like, I'm not going to open the ashes until you get here. She's like, can we offer a little ceremony? I was like, yeah, okay. So I'm thinking about it. And we'll chant the Kanze on the Enmeijuku Kanagyo for protecting life. And it's great. I was talking to her yesterday. I was like, Mom, we could offer this anywhere, you know, anywhere in the apartment, in the living room. And she's like, oh no, we're going to put the urn in my bedroom. That's where we offer the ceremony. I was like, okay, Mom. But then she said, this is so funny. She's like, this isn't going to take long, is it? So we'll do a quick, speedy, you know, 7 rounds of the Enmeijuku, and I'll keep it, you know, short and sweet. But maybe she'll be interested. We'll see how she does with it. Maybe I'll bring this just a case to read this. So Nirvana, the waterfall. If you go to Japan and visit a Heiji monastery, just before you enter, you will see a small bridge called Hanshaku-kyo, which means half-dipper bridge. Whenever Dogen Zenji dipped water from the river, he used only half a dipperful, returning the rest to the river again without throwing it away. That is why we call the bridge Hanshaku-kyo, half-dipper bridge. At Eiji, when we wash our face, we fill the basin to just 70% of its capacity, and after we wash, we empty the water towards rather than away from our body. This expresses respect for the water. This kind of practice is not based on any idea of being economical. It may be difficult to understand why Dogen returned half of the water he dipped to the river. This kind of practice is beyond our thinking. When we feel the beauty of the river, it's raining. And I looked over out the window and Chisei is nodding. It was forecast to rain, so it's not a total surprise, but still. We are already in a little bit of a drought in New England. And I was biking the other day in Willowdale, and already I did have a thought, you know, in April. Wow, you know, forest fire. Like, I could feel it. Like, what would happen? Like, being in the middle of that big forest or one of those trails, and all of a sudden, feel it already. So this is such a blessing. Tortuguita. Okay, where was I? This kind of practice is beyond our thinking. When we feel the beauty of the river, when we are one with the water, we intuitively do it in Dogen's way, pour the water toward us. It is our true nature to do so. But if your true nature is covered by ideas of economy or efficiency, Dogen's way makes no sense. That's really a subtle point. It's a really subtle point. It's like we can know that the practice of Orioki, when we offer our water, and we're practicing Orioki now, we're sitting Orioki for the all-day retreats every month. So the next one's coming up in a couple weeks, and I'm really excited about it. We'll have a special guest. Tova is coming to be with us. She's the liaison of the Branching Streams Sanghas, and she's going to be sitting Orioki with us. It feels like it's going to be really special. It always is so special. And in Orioki, I really do feel the most important part of that ceremony. Yeah, it's great to enjoy delicious food that we really also honor with our presence and our awareness, our full attention when we're eating in the upright posture, one spoonful at a time, chewing carefully, completely, and serving each other, the action of serving each other. And then when it comes time to clean, to wash our bowls, you know, wash our bowls right here, to clean our bowls, and then to drink some of that food tea, the water we use to wash our bowls, we drink. It's not wastewater. Even at Tassajara, there's a gray water system. It's not wastewater. It's beautiful. It's the way the runoff from like the dish shack and, you know, doing dishes and stuff and using, it's very important for anybody going to Tassajara. Don't bring your own soap or shampoo, because the soap and the shampoo that's provided is biodegradable, because that goes into the irrigation system to water the flowers. It's a very beautiful expression of this cycle. And so we drink some of that water in Orioki, and then the servers come around with the red bucket, the sacred red bucket, the holy red bucket. And they hold out the bucket, and we pick up the rest of the water that we've used to wash our bowls that has some of the food residue in it. And we offer it, and we pour it toward ourselves, just like Dogen and Sisakirishi are talking about, pouring it toward it. It's not a, let me get rid of this wastewater. The feeling is an offering. And those of you who've served before know that feeling. You will feel it. If someone goes boop, you'll be like, oh, yeah. But it's like, oh, okay, our compassion is great. You know, maybe they're new, or maybe they forgot, or, you know, it's okay. But for someone, without making a big deal out of it, and I'm probably already making a big deal out of it, just to have that sense, it's like, you know, the branching streams. The image of the branching streams all flowing into the great ocean and all having the same source. Sky, rain, clouds. Well, so Suzuki Roshi goes on to say, I went to Yosemite National Park and I saw some huge waterfalls. The highest one there is 1,340 feet high. And from it, the water comes down like a curtain thrown from the top of the mountain. It does not seem to come down swiftly, as you might expect. It seems to come down very slowly because of the distance. And the water does not come down as one stream, but is separated into many tiny streams, many branching streams. From a distance, it looks like a curtain. And I thought, It must be a very difficult experience for each drop of water to come down from the top of such a high mountain. It takes time, you know, a long time for the water finally to reach the bottom of the waterfall. And it seems to me that our human life may be like this. We have many difficult experiences in our life, but at the same time I thought, the water was not originally separated, but was one whole river. Only when it is separated does it have some difficulty in falling. Only when it is separated does it have some difficulty in falling. It is as if the water does not have any feeling when it is one whole river. Only when separated into many drops can it begin to have or to express some feeling. That's a very interesting point. That's called our karmic life. It's not a problem to have feeling. And it is a bit of an entanglement, if you've noticed, our life. When we see one whole river, we do not feel the living activity of the water. But when we dip a part of the water into a dipper, we experience some feeling of the water, and we also feel the value of the person who uses the water. Feeling ourselves and the water in this way, we cannot use it in just a material way. It is a living thing. Before we were born, we had no feeling. We were one with the universe. This is called mind only, or essence of mind, or big mind. After we are separated by birth from this oneness, as the water falling from the waterfall is separated by the wind and rocks, then we have feeling. We have our individual life. We have our experiences. Sad, happy, we cry, we laugh, we play, we mourn. You have difficulty because you have feeling. You attach to the feeling, and you have without knowing, you attach to the feeling you have without knowing just how this kind of feeling is created. When you do not realize that you are one with a river or one with a universe, you have fear. Whether it is separated into drops or not, water is water. Our life and death are the same thing. When we realize this fact, we have no fear of death anymore, and we have no actual difficulty in our life. It doesn't mean our feeling stops. It just means we understand something a little bit more about the nature of our feeling, how it arises. When the water returns to its original oneness with the river, it no longer has any individual feeling to it. It resumes its own nature and finds composure. This is Suzuki Roshi's exploration of anthropomorphism, as he continues by saying, "How very glad the water must be to come back to the original river. If this is so, what feeling will we have when we die? I think we are like the water in the dipper. We will have composure then, perfect composure. It may be too perfect for us just now, because we are so much attached to our own feeling, to our individual existence. For us, just now, we have some fear of death. But after we resume our true original nature, there is nirvana." That is why we say, to attain nirvana is to pass away. To pass away is not a very adequate expression. Perhaps to pass on, or to go on, or to join would be better. Will you try to find some better expression for death? When you find it, you will have quite a new interpretation of your life. It will be like my experience when I saw the water in the big waterfall. Imagine it was 1,340 feet high. We say everything comes out of emptiness. Our whole, one whole river or one whole mind is emptiness. When we reach this understanding, we find the true meaning of our life. When we reach this understanding, we can see the beauty of human life. Before we realize this fact, everything that we see is just illusion. Sometimes we overestimate the beauty. Sometimes we underestimate or ignore the beauty because our small mind is not in accord with reality. To talk about it this way is quite easy. But to have the actual feeling is not so easy. But by practice of Zazen, by your practice of Zazen, you can cultivate this feeling. That's interesting. He's using feeling again here, but it's a different kind of feeling. When you can sit with your whole body and mind, and with the oneness of your mind and body under the control of the universal mind, you can easily attain this kind of right understanding. Your everyday life will be renewed without being attached to an old erroneous interpretation of life. When you realize this fact, you will discover how meaningless your old interpretation was and how much useless effort you had been making. You will find the true meaning of life, and even though you have difficulty falling upright from the top of the waterfall to the bottom of the mountain, you will enjoy your life. The end. That's a happy ending. So thank you, Suzuki Roshi. There's so much compassion here. There is so much to study. Please never stop studying. I'm never going to stop studying. These Dharma talks are my continuous study. Have you noticed? I don't provide so much answers as more questions, as please, you know, encouragement to just keep studying and to find different ways to do that. You know, this piece I'm writing for Buddha Dharma, it's almost done, and the editor is so helpful. Editors are awesome. They are like doulas, midwives, especially for someone like me. My medium, and this is a confession because I'm supposed to give Dharma talks, my medium is not words speaking. I sit Zazen, for crying out loud, and I was trained as a dancer. For me, it is about the ritual. It is about the ritual of Orioki. It is about the ritual. I'm sorry my back was to you, although I caught you smiling as you were. I was so happy to see you smile as you were strewing the flower petals. It's about this. It's about, you know, we do have these brains and we do have feeling, and it's not a problem. It's just, can we find ways? Seitetsu, when you said this morning, when we're before Zazen, and I said, you know, checking out the rock, how is it doing? You know, the bamboo scoop arrived just in time. Dave Arndt drove up and dropped it off and drove away again. Oh, this is being recorded, Dave, if you ever see this. Thank you so much. And so I'm about to go upstairs and get ready for actual Zazen. And I said to the Doan and the Kokyo, sometimes I just feel like we're playing house. All this hoopla. And Seitetsu, when you said, what did you say? I love this. This is so exciting. This is so fun.
This is the fun.
This is the fun. Julia, it's a little bit also like saying about Orioki. You know, is it okay if I share? Because that for me is the liberation, is the deep respect and admiration I feel for anyone, I'm pretty stuffed up now after all that crying, for anyone who's finding your way in Zazen, that you, I hope you feel your version of composure. I hope you feel your version of steadiness, that you have stayed put on your seat, whatever your seat looks like, and that these practices, it's just like Suzuki Roshi's point about the different kinds of feeling. You know, this feeling is the basis of our individual life, of our suffering, of our feeling of separation. And yet, suffering is bodhi. Suffering is awakening. It's not separate. The Zen school really confirmed this, really clarified this, and we keep clarifying this as we go. The passions or suffering are bodhi, are awakening. Nirvana is right in the midst of our samsaric life. Suffering and the end of suffering are just two sides of one reality. And so this feeling of separation is also, if you've noticed, what motivated you, and we're hearing it in the Way-Seeking Mind talks. What motivated you to come to practice? Whether you realize it or not, finding another way to engage with this feeling, which is our aliveness, our messy aliveness as we thrash on planet Earth. You know, and connecting with, tapping into somehow this subtler realm of feeling that we can experience through the body, the way we hold the dipper. I loved being able to hear the sound of the water as I was standing over there. I experienced something different today, watching you interact with the water and hearing you laugh when I said, listen to the water, and then you heard me go, the water's speaking to us. The bamboo scoop is speaking to us. The earth is speaking to us right now, always. So this is the feeling of listening with our whole body. So yeah, my medium is a dance, ritual. We just danced with each other. That's all it was. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Very happy to be with you. Happy to see all of you. Thank you for being here. Let me just turn you around because I do want to share you. Is that okay? Don't turn off your video. Hello, Sangha, sweet Sangha. Oh, yeah. If anybody feels like saying anything, just bust out, speak. Should we go around? Oh, look. We've got maybe people on Zoom. Do you want to say something first? Maybe, Christine, would you like to say something and then invite others and feel free to or not to?
I would just like to say good morning and I miss you. And just a really beautiful talk and morning. So let's see. Good morning, Baikyo.
Good morning, everyone. I'm fooling with my earphones. I hope you can hear me. And yes, thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Joan. And it's pouring here, too, in Peabody. So I feel that also. Mm-hmm. Kaimon, are you there? Hello.
Good morning. I'm enjoying the rainy morning, meditating, listening. Thank you for being there for us, everyone. Carolina?
Thank you. Yes, enjoying the morning, and thanks to everybody in person who poured the water for us who couldn't do it.
Thank you, Carolina. Thank you, everybody. Okay, let's just move to the room here and see if anybody wants to say anything. You could just gush out too if you prefer.
Hi. Laughing. It's that kind of day. I'm just good morning, and I had such a beautiful time with the petals last night and yesterday afternoon, so that was really enjoyable to make a beautiful bowl full of petals. And I'll also thank my mother-in-law, since this is being recorded, for the gorgeous bowl that she was able to find in our household. So team effort. Go Sangha. Yeah.
Is that an example of Ukrainian weaving?
It is actually Ukrainian. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Beautiful bowl.
Thank you.
Hi, Pete. So good to see you.
I'm Julia, all the way down here. I like the petals a lot. At first I was like, oh, I wish I was throwing petals. And I think I really liked having them thrown on me a lot. So yeah. I recommend that experience.
I have to say, during the talk, the whole time during the talk, I was enjoying your petal origami over there.
Yeah,
you created a heart. Right,
like ZCNS. Like, heart, so.
Tagging with petals. Hi, Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura. I also enjoyed throwing them today.
Yay!
My thing to think you to my hat basket. I put the train of tears right at some point. Yeah, feel free to throw them.
Maybe a little pirouette tea.
Brent. Hello. Good morning, I'm Brent. Yeah, the bowl really caught my eye this morning. That was some nice natural confetti. I love the color. Flowers look beautiful.
Hello. Chise here. Yeah, I know that we already talked about a couple weeks ago, like spring starting. But I have to say, today feels actually like spring starting for some reason. Maybe it's the Earth Day yesterday. Maybe it's the strewing of petals. But it really does feel like spring. Mm. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. It's Seitetsu, and the Zendo looks so beautiful with all the flowers strewn everywhere. Just so colorful and bright, and it was also such a special occasion to have the rock here. Mm-hmm. And it's a rock, it's quite heavy, it's a big rock. And I brought it home from Maine. So I love picking up rocks. I have my whole life, and I'm just thinking about picking up that rock and that it gets to sit here. What a special occasion. Thank you, Joan.
I believe in the hoopla. Maybe it's just the old choreographer in me. But I am having, yes, Baikyo, I see you. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Yes, everybody on Zoom had a wonderful view. Yes, that was what I was thinking. More.
I got
more.
You.
More.
I got you.
Yeah, thank you. That was the one thing we didn't see.
There's the rock.
Thank you.
There's the bamboo scooper. Anything else while I'm on tour here?
The flowers.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. The flowers. I don't know how much. Oh, they're falling from the laptop. Did you notice, you guys, I sprinkled flower petals on you at the end there? Did you see that?
Yeah, thank you.
See them? Julia just... Oh! Julia, sorry, that was loud probably for you guys. Yes. And, you know, just to maybe the last thing to say is that I remember it was always so funny at San Francisco Zen Center when we would offer ceremonies like this, and immediately after the ceremony, the Zamboni would come up and clean up, you know, and I really
appreciate being able to give a Dharma talk in the midst of all this, because I think this is the truth of our life, the messy little way is also beautiful. Thank you, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. This podcast is made possible by donations from listeners like you. For more information or to donate, please go to www.zencenternorthshore.org. Thank you.